Monday evening, everybody. This is your host of the Monday Night Kickoff, as I guess I'll call it now, Redfish Chuck. We got a pretty cool show for you lined up. I got an extremely special guest lined up for you guys tonight. We'll get to that in just a minute. I don't know if you guys have been on my Facebook page or not, but I actually got to go out and fish a little bit today. It was good. We'll kind of cover that here in just a bit once my guest calls me. And, yeah, I'll be taking your calls throughout the show, so feel free to call at any time. If you have a question or you just want to get involved in the conversation, just feel free to give me a shout. The number is 714-816-4727. And I got somebody on the line. Let's see who it is. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany, how are you?
Good, how are you tonight?
Doing great. A little sore from our little adventure today, but doing good.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. My knees got a little sunburned, but I feel pretty good.
Good deal. All right, folks, so for those of you that are joining us tonight, Brittany is actually the founder of Florida Sportswomen, which is kind of like Florida Sportsmen, but obviously more directed towards women. Tell us a little bit about how you let's just lead into how did you get involved in fishing?
Well, I grew up in the water. I grew up in Sebastian and the Grant area when I was younger. My dad was a local fisherman for Dyer's Shellfish and Seafood. It's been closed down for years now, but I've always, that was my whole childhood, was going out fishing or clamming and bringing the fish in for the day and trading with the local restaurants our catches, in exchange for dinner. So it was kind of our way of life growing up out in the water. And my dad just had me involved, all through growing up until he passed on. And so I've just been involved since I was young. And I just continue to do so, and I get my sister involved and anyone else who wants to join in with me.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's not too often when you find a lady that's been in and around fishing as long as you have, so that's really, really cool. And I know we talked a lot today. I got to know you really well, and I really enjoyed that time that we spent together finding out more about you and about your plans for your group and your company there. So why don't you give us a little bit of an insight of kind of what you're thinking about doing, your directions that you're thinking about going with it?
Sure. Well, Florida Sportswomen is pretty much all online right now. The website is floridasportswomen.com, and we pretty much provide articles, fishing reports. We have a photo gallery from any women that have submitted their fishing photos. And we basically just try to stay involved with the community. We've been traveling the state. We attend fishing tournaments, and they don't have to be just women's tournaments, but if we see that women are involved or there's a team out there, we'll even try to spotlight the women of that team and just kind of follow up with how they did at the tournament. And we meet with different chartering companies and just attend any kind of events where women are involved. And just keep up to date and just put it out there how women are definitely out there and getting more involved every year in the fishing industry. We try to do a lot of community involvement as well. We are working with the Kids Hooked on Fishing program down in Vero and staying involved with them and doing some kids events because it's really important that the kids stay involved with learning how to fish if they've never done it before, or learning the conservation of fishing and the best practices.
Yeah, growing up myself, I spent a lot of time in and around the water, as we had talked about earlier, and I think that really kept me out of a lot of trouble growing up. any free time I might have had was always spent either at a local pond or a lake, or like I said, my parents would drop me off down at the Indian River for hours on end just to kind of, I don't know if it was more or less to get me out of the house or just to, make me happy. But So it was really cool, and that's something that I've noticed too a lot with my Handler Fish and Supply is that a lot of our customers are hardcore customers seem to be getting younger and younger and younger. I've got quite a group of high school kids and junior high school kids that come through that seem to know more than some of the old veterans do anymore about knot tying and rigging and stuff like that. So it's really, it is really cool to watch the kids kind of get into it and really enjoy it, especially those who've just now getting into it or have never done it. So that's a very cool thing you guys have going on down there. And also, I just think that it's awesome that you're helping to promote the lady side of things. All too often, it seems that this is a male-driven hobby or sport, if you will. I call it a hobby. And the women seem to get neglected quite a bit, whether it's even in everything down to rods and reels and fighting belts and things. Nothing's really designed more towards the lady than it is, you know, as much as it is specifically towards the men. So I think you're definitely got something going there. And I hope it really works out for you. And of course, if there's anything that we can do at Kayak Fishing Radio at any time to help promote anything you got going on, just let us know.
Yeah, thanks so much. I have such a good time today, and I hope we can get a few ladies out and do a fishing day again with you and Dee if she's up to fishing with us again. And I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. And why don't we just take a break from the little interview here, and we'll talk a little bit about our fishing day today. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I was a little worried this morning. We launched the kayaks, and we paddled out to the first spot, Dee. We went down to Sebastian area. You guys know I don't typically fish much further south than, say, Cocoa area over here on the Space Coast. I try to stay as far north as I can. But it was awesome. We got down there. But besides the mosquito bites, we launched. We paddled out to an area that was completely surrounded by mangrove trees. And Dee just kind of pointed us in the right direction and told us what to start to do. And I couldn't put a fish on the board for the first, 35, 45 minutes of the morning, maybe even close to an hour. But I watched you and I watched Dee get hit after hit after hit, and you caught a fish. I think you might have caught the first fish. Dee caught the first fish, and then you caught a fish right after that. And so I was frustrated there for a minute. I'm like, I can't get beat today. Like, this is not going to be good. I can't have my special guest calling me on my show laughing at me the rest of the show about how she whooped me her first time out kayak fishing. So it turned out well. It turned out well. I definitely found that it was a little bit difficult to pick an area and want to kind of concentrate on that area to fish. Again, being that I fish mainly sight fish, it was definitely kind of different just to blind cast into certain areas and see what would come out of it. But you got the hang of it there pretty quick, and so did Dee, and eventually I ended up catching a fish, so that was cool. What were your thoughts on this morning on our first few casts and our first few spots that we hit? I mean, was it kind of different than fishing from a boat as far as fishing from the kayak for you?
It's definitely different. You realize I kayak on my own without a fishing pole, so this is my first time actually fishing off a kayak, and I didn't realize how many different tools there were on the kayak to help you in the process of fishing. So that was neat, just learning the different things to use, like the pole that was available and where to store your paddle when you're not in need of it, and just kind of getting the feel of where to grab everything and, you know, where to get stationed with your pole in the water. And so many things were going through my mind on just, you know, trying to navigate around and then have the pole and then keep the pole out of the mangroves. And I had a great time. It was just more of definitely a learning process for me this time around. I just enjoyed the steady pace and just kind of cruising around and drifting and throwing the line out and just checking everything out. I've never fished in that area myself. I'm used to fishing in the Mosquito Lagoon and doing a lot of sight casting, like you were saying. So it was different to do a lot of the blind casting and using the the top water jigs and things like that. So it was a whole new process, and I had a great time.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting for me, too, because I'm not typically a top water plug kind of person. I use it on occasion, usually in the wintertime, more so than in the summer or even in the spring. And I'll tell you what, those explosions, those trout were laying out there for us this morning were pretty epic. I mean, I was really kind of excited every time I see one pop. Even if it wasn't mine, if I watch one blow up on your plug or I watch one blow up on D's, it definitely got my heart racing a little bit for you guys. You know, just to see it, it's just so cool. Because, like, again, I'm used to catching those fish under the surface.
Yeah, it's on definitely a rush when you see. Oh, sorry, I was going to say it's definitely a rush when you see your bait, you know, getting blasted from the water, and just trying to be patient with it, because not every time that you see it in motion, it's actually hooked on yet. So just trying to be patient and realizing that even though you've seen it, it might not be hooked on yet. But it's cool because you just never know when it's going to hit. It's totally different from sight fishing. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's, I'll tell you, I kind of got frustrated there towards the afternoon a little bit because I kept throwing that topwater plug and tried to stay with it as long as I could. And I'll tell you, I had to go back to my roots and throw that soft plastic because I knew those redfish were around and I wasn't getting those topwater blow-ups from the reds that I was hoping for. And so as soon as I switched over to that paddle tail, the Bass Assassin Blur paddle tail, what was it, probably my third or fourth cast, I caught a little trout. And then shortly after that, as I started drifting down back towards the ramp, I got my first red, which was a nice fish. It was about 25 inches. And then the second fish, which was, I believe, 22 inches or 23 inches, something like that. Both of those came off that paddle tail. And that area seemed to be holding quite a few fish. It seemed to have quite a bit of bait in it, too. I mean, I was pretty impressed with the amount of bait, were you?
Oh, yeah. I almost had one of the smaller mullet almost into the kayak. They were just popping everywhere, especially when we got out into that open area. They were just everywhere, hitting everywhere up top of the water.
Yeah. And you guys were kind of staked out right outside that first island or that second island. And I snuck around that back corner just to kind of see what was in that cove back there. And I know where I'm going next time I need some small finger mullet, because that whole cove was just absolutely loaded with them. And I had the same thing happen to me as well. As soon as I came around that corner, I think I just spooked them. I don't think anything was in there, but they all come kind of piling out of the water. It was kind of cool, like a shower of bait fish. And I haven't seen that in a while in the river. And with the water being pretty warm, it wasn't quite as warm as I remember the last time I was in the lagoon. I was pretty surprised that they were that active, but yeah, so all in all, it was a good day. I almost fell in the water once out of the kayak. That was cool. I don't think you or Dee saw that. That was awesome. And then I went climbing in mangrove trees, what, 3-4 times to try and get lures back. But it was an interesting adventure. I think one of the coolest things that we saw all day long was that spotted eagle ray there at the end.
Oh, yeah, at the end. That was pretty cool. I think it went up twice, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did. It jumped out of the water probably a good 3 foot, and it was a big one, too. When it landed, when Dee first yelled about it, I thought it was a big tarpon or something like that had come out of the water, the way she kind of got excited about it. But, yeah, it was definitely pretty cool. That's a really neat area. I think Rob, I see that you're in the chat room. Rob, call me if you get a chance. We need to talk about this place and see if you want to come over here and do some fishing over here. It's definitely a place I think that he would like, because Rob's used to fishing deep water. He fishes around docks and stuff like that. And it's I think it would kind of his skills would work out well over there fishing that deep water all the time. But yeah, so that was our day. It was cool. I think I ended up with 5 trout total. I had 2 over 20 and 3 smaller ones, and then the 2 redfish. I think you got, did you get 3 fish or 2?
I got the 1 small trout, and then I got a lot of hits, and we lost a couple. And remember, we thought we had the 1 snook that was on And then we remember when we both lost two fish at the same time?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got another trout towards the end.
Oh, cool. Well, see, at least you caught two fish on your first go at it, so that wasn't too bad. It was definitely interesting, like I said, not having ever fished that area and trying to learn it. Dee is definitely quite the professional, I'll tell you guys. I didn't know what to expect this morning. I went down to an area I'd never been to before. Dee said, cast over here, the fish are usually here. Cast over there, the fish are usually there. And sure enough, they were there, so it was pretty awesome. But, yeah, so what else do you have going on with Florida Sportswomen? Do you have any ideas about me or any, I guess, ambitions to do any TV programs or any printed material?
Yeah, we have somebody. We have a production team that's working with us right now on doing a show. We're working on the pilot, and so that way we can kind of acquire some additional sponsorships that we need to get everything rolling. But we're working on the show, which will basically, you know, be a series where we're traveling with different teams or we're attending different events and doing coverage on, you know, all over the state on what women are doing in the fishing industry. So we're really excited for that, and because that can go so many different avenues as far as, like, having special guests or just attending an event or doing, you know, like a photo of the day or the video of the week submission. So really excited to see it come together in the next couple months.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I know we were talking about sponsors and stuff, and some folks finding it difficult to find sponsors, others not so much. It sounded like you had some pretty cool companies lined up to help you out. I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, but it was definitely an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think people can tell whether it's a big company or just somebody you meet in line at the store. People can tell when you're passionate about something, and I've been so excited about getting this company going and just seeing all the cool things ahead, and I think people can really sense that when I talk about it. So even though we don't have, per se, a ton of accomplishments so far because everything just started this summer, people can see all the things lined up and all the people that are standing by our side so far and helping us along the way, and they just can't help but want to get involved. So that has just been awesome to see the involvement and people that want to help out or learn ways to get involved with the show or just getting on the website. And I feel like we make it really open and comfortable for women to send in their photos, which is really important to us, just to keep it real. And they're all real fisherwomen around the area. And so I think that's great. Everyone feels comfortable sending us their information and their photos. And our sponsors have been great. One of our big sponsors is Intrepid Powerboats. They're over in Tampa, and they're just ready for anything that comes up. So any shows that come up, any tournaments, if we get our fishing team going, they're just, you know, ready to get on board with us for sure.
That is awesome. To come out of the shoot and be less than a year old as far as a company goes or as far as a professional fishing team goes, and to have a company like Intrepid, who builds probably one of the baddest offshore fishing vessels that I've ever personally had a chance to ride on. That's
mm-hmm.
pretty awesome. That definitely speaks volumes for what they or how they feel about your company.
Right. I feel like we just were compatible as far as you know, how we viewed the women involvement in the fishing industry. So I think that was really key. We agreed on a lot of similar things. And I look forward to seeing where our relationship goes with them for sure and any of the other sponsors that we have lined up.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, if guys want to get a hold of you or want to get a hold of the company and try and help out, even us men, you know, believe it or not, we can be pretty helpful from time to time. how can we go about doing so?
Well, the best way is just to visit our website, which is floridasportswoman.com. And then also through our Facebook page, you can find us just searching through Florida Sportswoman. and we can easily be found through the Facebook as well. And there's so many different ways to get involved, even if you are a guy. Just like with our involvement with the Kids Hooked on Fishing, they're always looking for volunteers and for mentors, and especially for the young boys that come out fishing, to have that male mentor around just to volunteer for the day means so much to them. So there's a ton of different ways you can get involved with what we're doing.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, about the I'm kind of jumping all over the place, and I apologize for that. About the Hook Kids on Fishing thing, how did you get involved in that personally?
Well, we kind of connected through the Facebook, and we ended up meeting during one of their first events, and this was also when we first got started, and we just realized we had the same passion for fishing, and her passion is just more towards children, and mine's more towards women. So we just partnered up and tried to do a ton of events together.
That's all. And do you guys have any plans on trying to bring those events further north, say in the Brevard County, or maybe even moving them up into Volusia County a little bit?
Oh, yeah. We plan to bring it further north, as, you know, her organization is just as new as mine. So just the process of, you know, meeting new contacts further north, and she's definitely gone that far. Her name's Sue, by the way, that runs the program. And, you know, I've helped her with that transition of meeting good contacts up in Melbourne, such as, you know, Richard over at Harry Goods, and just getting her introduced to the great contacts that I've come to know about, and they've been awesome, and Strike Zone's been awesome. We have donation boxes in both of our locations where people can bring supplies, whether they're new or used, that the Kids Hooked on Fishing program can pick up and use for their children in the program. So they've been an awesome place where people can go and donate their items, and we can just swing by and pick them up. So maybe Handler is our next spot to go with the box.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, that's for sure. That's a definite. Don't even hesitate. Please feel free to drop them by next time you're out at the port going to Milliken's or whatever. We'll make sure that we get that thing filled up pretty good for you. I think that's something that everybody should really take an opportunity to kind of do for themselves. It's good for the soul. It's good for karma. Go through your tackle selection, and if there's rods and reels you just don't use anymore, or, you know, lures or anything like that you don't use anymore, put them aside. And whenever you make a trip over here to fish with me or fish with Dee, drop them off, and we'll make sure we get them in the right hands, because that's definitely something that we need to start thinking about. I mean, kids today, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm a new father, and it scares me to death to think about what my boys are going to be into in another 5 or 10 years. So fishing's going to be the number one thing that they're going to have to worry about. I'm not going to allow them to have any free time where they're just out running the streets like a bunch of banshees. So, yeah, I think it's very important that as many of us get involved with it as we can. I don't know. Haywood's in the chat, but Haywood, do you guys have a Hook Kids on Fishing or a Kids Fishing Clinics over there? I mean, maybe you can post something up in chat real quick if you do. If you're listening, probably not. But, yeah, so I could see that definitely expanding across the state, if not across the southeast at least. Like, there's a charitable group called Heroes on the Water, and what they do is they take he's typing. Yes, he's listening. They take wounded military guys and put them out in kayaks and take them fishing as a form of therapy. And there's chapters all up and down the eastern seaboard, and I believe there's some like in Kentucky as well, and some of the other states. So definitely something that could be reached out past our boundaries as far as the east central counties of Florida. That's definitely something that's pretty awesome. Haywood says the Florida Sheriff's youth camps do trips with kids and clinics.
Oh,
also
wow.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that. And I used to be a deputy sheriff. So what else is new? I know you do some offshore fishing. with the guys from the Monster Energy team, which is a pretty cool group of guys, I guess you could say. I've got a couple buddies that are on that team. What's your favorite fish to catch?
Well, I haven't fished with them yet, and I heard you laughing, so I'm not sure what that was about, but I've heard that they're a really awesome group of guys to fish with, and they're very fun to fish with, I hear. So our first tournament together will be in Fort Pierce. I think it's called the Fort Pierce Summer Slam. It's an SKA tournament, so I'm looking forward to that. But offshore, I really enjoy catching a dolphin. And actually, while I was at Milliken's, I was learning about Don Hammond's project that he had with the dolphin research, which I thought was awesome since it's my favorite fish. And I was just totally into everything he was sharing. And I went in to check out his website and learn more about the dolphin tagging and the migration studies. And I thought that was awesome.
You know, it's funny. You wouldn't think it, but there's a lot of guys in South Florida that target dolphin out of their kayaks since it's only a mile or two off the beach and you're in the Gulf Stream. And I know of several of those guys down there that do the dolphin tagging research program. I've been involved with it. I've tagged 1, 2, 3, like 4 or 5 small peanut dolphin. I've never tagged anything bigger than a peanut. I'll admit it, I have a hard time not putting a gaff hook in their head when they're much bigger than 20 pounds, so, which is a horrible thing to say when you're talking about conservation, but whatever, they eat good. So, but what's your favorite inshore fish to catch?
Probably redfish is my most favorite, and I'm going to be doing some redfish fishing on Wednesday with a friend of mine out in the Banana River. And I went out last week or 2 weeks ago, and we caught some pretty decent-sized redfish. The only problem we were running into is it was almost like they were in negative feeding. They were not feeding unless we were throwing the bait right in front of their faces and just letting their instincts take over and make them bite at it. So we got 2 big ones, and hopefully the water will clear up a little bit more for us on Wednesday.
What's your favorite tactic to catch redfish with? Do you mind throwing cut bait, or are you more into artificials?
I really like using the soft tackle. I like using any of the DOA products, the shrimp. I use, I think it's a 3 or 4 inch, it's a near clear shrimp, and then the new pennies, and then even what you were using today, I think what was the Bass Assassin, that color that we were using today, was it molten, right?
Yeah, molten, yeah.
Yeah, so I prefer using the soft plastics. I know how to catch bait, so if I'm out towards the inlet, I'll go out and catch my own bait with the cast net and use some little pinfish and whatnot, but I typically stick with the plastics.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I am a soft plastic connoisseur of sorts. I don't think that there's a company that's out right now that I haven't tried their stuff or used their stuff, and there's definitely not a style of soft plastics that I haven't fished. I just get a kick out of tricking a fish into eating something he's probably not really supposed to. Dead bait fishing and that kind of thing all has its uses, and there's definitely time for it, but for me, I just can't bring myself to do it. Looks like I got another caller on the line. Hang on just 1 sec. We'll see who we have from 321 area code. Who are we talking to?
It's Dee. Hi, guys.
Dee.
Oh, she called.
She's awake.
Yeah, I made it.
So, Dee, what are your thoughts on our day today?
I wasn't very impressed with it. I'm glad you guys caught fish and all, and it's you could always say it's based on a full moon, it's based on tide, it's based on, you know, just the weather in general, but I do have a definite harder time catching fish in that area when the wind is from the direction that it was in today. But I'm glad you guys caught fish and everything, and we tried a little bit of everything in terms of what to bait them with, and I'm just absolutely ecstatic that you both caught a little of something. So that was good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I had a great time.
It is a beautiful area. You know, a lot of people think that, like, Mosquito Lagoon is going to look exactly the same as down south by us there at the Sebastian Inlet area, and it's a totally different world. And what may work down here doesn't work up there and vice versa. So you kind of have to try a little of everything to see what happens. And so I carry a little bit more of an arsenal when I go either side. You know, I typically do all soft plastics and regular lures up at Mosquito Lagoon. I might go for some shrimp here and there, but I highly doubt that I get, you know, much use out of it. And I think you guys saw today that down there I want to have a little of everything and try everything, make sure something's working, you know. But went from topwater, then we went to jigging a little bit, and then tried a couple pinfish and shot a shrimp out there, but that didn't work. So we tried a bit of everything, and it was fun. At least
yeah,
I tried a bit of everything. You guys did just topwater and soft plastic. That was great.
Hey. I stood up and fly fished today.
You did.
So, yeah, like a rock star, except they didn't catch anything. It was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, but you got a hit on a nice 27, 28-inch trout, you said, came right up to the kayak.
I did, and I was going to get to that in a minute, and I'll go ahead and tell the story real quick. As you guys know, I tie a lot of flies. I fly fish a lot and this, that, and the other. Most of that is done outside of the kayak. I haven't really been too brave as far as standing up and throwing a fly. Even though I stand 95% of the time and I push-pull myself all over the river and the lagoon and stuff, it's totally different when you're rocking back and forth trying to throw a fly line than it is if you're just standing still and pushing. So I got my feet kind of underneath me real well, and I felt good about it. So I laid a couple casts out along the mangrove line that just looked too pretty not to. And I'm telling you, the GoPro conversation we had the other day, Rob, I know you're listening. I 100% agree with you, buddy. I need to wear that stupid thing as much as possible because this would have been the coolest footage out of anything I think I've seen in the last year, at least on the water. I'm stripping this fly that I tied, and it has no name. I just kind of threw it together. I'll post a picture of it up on my Facebook later. But I'm stripping this fly away from the mangroves. And I give it, like, every four or five strips, I'll give it a pause for about 5 seconds to let it kind of breathe a little bit because I tie a lot of natural and synthetics together. So they kind of, I guess you'd call it, undulate a little bit. It makes it look really alive. So anyway, I gave it some time, and this trout just comes up from nowhere and rolls super slow with his mouth wide open, big old yellow mouth wide open. Misses the fly by like a quarter of an inch and goes down, and I was like, oh, man. But it was just the coolest thing in the world to see, and I think you guys even heard me laughing or maybe even a sigh of disappointment out of me, but it was just so cool to witness it, you know, regardless if I hooked a fish or not, just to be able to have seen that. It was just like, wow, that's awesome. Because it tells me two things. It tells me, one, I was fishing in the right area, and two, my fly worked. I mean, it tricked the fish into wanting to eat it. So that was good. But, no, Dee, you got to be kidding me. Today was a fantastic day for the conditions. We all caught fish. Nobody got skunked, which was awesome. You know, I almost got a slam, so that was cool.
Yeah.
I did miss a snook, so that would have been really cool to be able to fish a place I'd never fished before and catch a slam right away. But is that area?
How about that bobber, too?
Oh, man, we didn't even talk about the bobber.
So we're
paddling over to this one area, and Dee's like, there's the bobber. And I'm like, what bobber? And tell a story, Dee.
Oh, my God. Over a week ago, my fiancé and I, Brian, we went fishing, and Brian hooked up on something huge. We have no idea what it was, and I'm just going to assume that it was a big redfish, and there had to have been a nick in the line or something in his braid, and it popped off, so the fish took off with the bobber. And this was a week ago, and it showed up actually 2 days ago. And I followed it around, and the fish was still on the bobber, and you just couldn't get close enough. That bobber would just sink down, and it would shoot out for, you know, 10, 20 feet and then pop back up again. But you could chase it all day long. And I thought, oh, well, that's it. You know, it's pretty funny that it's still there. And then today it showed up again. So for a full week, it's been floating around in the same area, telling you that this redfish still maintains his position in the same area. He's not running from, you know, this 6 miles this way, 6 miles that way, or whatever. He's staying in a 1 mile radius. It was really funny. Chuck tried to cast it to it and try to hook it up, and I'm like, don't even waste your time. But there are bobbers out there, so if anybody sees a green Cajun thunder popping up and down, that's our redfish.
It was a redfish. I can tell you it was a redfish because he got close enough to me. I've seen him dart by me, and it was a good fish. He was well over 30 inches, so it was a nice fish.
Yeah, it was a big fish. I mean, I remember Brian telling me it hit really hard, and it sat down immediately and just chewed on that pinfish and pop. You know, he went to tighten up and get a hook on it and set the hook, and it just went poom, gone. It was like, ah! Darn it.
That is funny because I think I did tell you guys today about a story I had where I followed a bobber around in the lagoon. I've actually done it twice. Seen a bobber floating in. I'm not one to leave trash in the water, especially if it's got monofilament attached to it. So I paddle over in the lagoon. This happened just north of Biolab, up towards Holover Canal. I paddle over, I see a Cajun thunder floating on the surface. I'm like, oh, man, someone lost a lure or a whole rig, whatever. So I go to reach for it, and it takes off. And then the water erupts all around me, and I realize that I'm in the money. I just won the lottery because all I have to do now is back off and let this stupid bobber pop back up again, and I can just work on this school of fish all day long as I give the fish some room to where they can kind of, you know, calm down, relax, and settle down again so that bobber would pop back up again. And I did. I did that for probably 3 hours, followed that stupid bobber around like a dog. And I ended up catching, that day, I think I ended up catching 20-plus redfish and a couple big trout. But all the redfish I caught that day, I caught out of that school of fish. And then I did it again in the Indian River. In fact, there's a video, the link that was posted up on the chat last week, that video was taken the same way. I got out early in the morning before work one day, and I saw some mullet moving around, and I just happened to have the kayak with me and dumped it in the water, which is another great reason to go out and get a kayak if you don't have one. The versatility of being able to just say, hey, look, there's a fish, drop it in and go. I paddle over, make a cast, hook a redfish, turn around and look, and the old style popping cork, just the red and white popping cork, goes shooting across the surface. I'm like, oh, man, again, you know, how can lightning strike twice? So I throw over. Once I land the other fish, I throw over towards that popping cork and boom, hook a fish, and then boom, hook another one. And I caught 5 fish within 40 minutes of each other. Was following that popping cork around, and I turned that into a little short, like 3.5 minute video with the GoPro camera. It was really cool.
Awesome.
But yeah, it is pretty cool.
Caught those redfish today in that area, didn't you?
Yeah, in the same area where that fish was at with that popping cork. Sure did. Blind casting with the soft plastic, yeah. So
yeah.
Maybe there's something to that. Is that area
fish under it?
Yeah, really. Is that area tidal driven, D, where we were at today?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, the inlet's only like I said, it's like 4 miles from the bridge, and then you have to wait like an hour and a half or 2 hours from what's considered high tide at the Sebastian Inlet for all that water to actually become high tide where we were at. And then it does have a slack tide, and then it goes right back out. And most of the time you kind of know what the tide is because it's a big area to fish. But if you just look in the grass, you can see where the turtle grass is either going left or right, you know, depending on which way the tide is going at that time.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I was really, really impressed with the amount of life down there as opposed to what I see in the lagoon where I'm typically fishing up the northern end of the Indian River. As far as the grass looks so healthy, and usually in the summertime we get a pretty good grass growth in the lagoon, but I haven't seen turtle grass like that up there, at least where I fish, where it's that really, really thick-bladed turtle grass, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and in different times of the year, those patches are three times the size.
Wow.
And that's where those sheep's head will be tailing. Remember I was telling you, oh, my God, they're tailing everywhere, and they're really easy to catch. They've got their head stuck down deep into that turtle grass, and if you cast just right, you can land those 20-inch sheep's head super easy because, I mean, the shrimp is just sitting there. And the tails come out really high up out of the grass because they're not sitting. And that grass is what? It's got to be 12 inches long.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah, it was definitely
then they've
long.
Got the sheep's head eaten right on top of that. So it's another 20 inches. And, man, it's a sight to see a million sheep's head. And their backs come out of the water. And the redfish will swim on top of the turtle grass, too, because all the mullet seem to mill around in there. So when you see a lot of activity in those areas, that's the mullet sitting on top of the turtle grass, and then you've got the trout coming around the turtle grass in the deeper spots just off the drop-off of those, and then you have the redfish coming, plowing right through. I mean, there's a whole story. It's kind of like an aquarium just around this stupid little pot of turtle grass, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, you better make sure you call me when you start seeing sheephead tailing, because I've caught plenty of sheephead in my life, but I've never caught a good amount of them on the flats, and I think that would be awesome to go out and just target sheephead.
Yeah, next year. They're all done this year, so next year.
All right, cool. Aaron, I know you're in the chat room. It's definitely a place where me and you need to go, bud, and check this place out. Dee, I can't thank you enough for taking us. It was just, and what a lesson. I mean, I really, truly learned a lot today. And, that's what this is all about. This is what the whole kayak fishing community to me is all about, with yakangler.com or with the various kayak fishing radio shows. None of us know everything, and the more that you're willing to listen and kind of just put your pride in your back pocket and just try and figure out what you need to do in new locations, I think the better or more well-rounded angler you're going to end up being. And I think that's what all of our goals are, really, is to be the best that we can be at every facet of what we do. So, you have nothing to hang your head about today. I'm telling you, it was awesome.
Thanks.
In fact, I think your kids are happy about it, too.
You got that, too?
Yeah, and you get this.
Awesome.
Whatever.
Awesome. Brandy,
I don't use the sound effect
time?
For
Yeah, I had a really good time. I learned a lot, and I'm definitely going to be checking out looking around, getting a kayak that's not just a recreational kayak, more towards the fishing type. So I'll be out there, and I might come to you for some advice on what to look for out there.
Sure. And visit the radio shows because, you know, it's not all about my opinion about a specific kayak or whatever, because everybody has a different idea on what you want to achieve with the kayak. What's comfortable for me might not be comfortable for you, and vice versa with Chuck. So everybody needs to get together and talk about, and you need to go try a bunch of them out, you know?
Right.
There's places, yeah. There's dealers that'll let you give, let you try different ones out. Kind of like when I was telling you, jump into mine, see how you like that one while you have a chance. And you're like, no, I'm good. You got to try.
I'll tell you what.
It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt
bad after showing up today with the one I brought for you, because I realized that you probably would have been a lot more comfortable in that Ultimate, and I have one of those sitting in the garage, and I was like, why didn't you bring it? But I could tell you, I was going to load them all up last night, and we had downpour, like the end of the world, storm blew through, so it was like not a good idea, because that kayak's not self-bailing, and I don't put that kayak on my truck upside down like Dee does on hers, so the last thing I needed was to try and empty a fully loaded Native Ultimate 14.5 full of water into my driveway, or do that by myself and end up cracking the kayak or something. But next time, I think what I'm going to try and do actually is there's enough of us, Dee, that, and we all fish out of different platforms. Aaron's got Malibus, Rob's in the Malibu, you're in the Ultimates, and you can get your hands on Natives. I'm with the Motion, and even Rob is with, the other Rob is with, or not with, but he has Hobies. So I think I'm going to try and get a bunch of us together one day and just do a demo day and kind of promote it through this radio station. And, you know, so people can come out, like Brittany can come out, and you can paddle, say, 5 or 6 different brands in one day, and you can kind of see the differences between them. Because that's probably the most important thing. As you said, comfort is everything. And if you're not comfortable, you're going to be miserable after 2 or 3 hours sitting on a piece of plastic. And, you know, there are few kayaks that can compete with what Dee's got as far as comfort. And she was right. I heard her say it's like sitting in a beach chair. It is like sitting in a beach chair. And it's not right. It's not right how comfortable that kayak is. I've actually fallen asleep in my wife's kayak a couple of times, waiting for the sun to come up in the morning, because that seat's just that comfortable. But, yeah, let us know whenever you're getting ready to do that, Brittany, because we all have outlets. So.
Yeah, I would love to be able to share that, you know, through our Facebook page or our website. And, you know, that's the thing with getting women involved with fishing. Some of us, you know, are novice, and some of us more experienced, and some of us, you know, haven't fished on certain types of fishing. Like myself, I've never been on a kayak fishing before, so today was an awesome experience, and there's so much to learn I found out after today, and so I love for you guys to do that so I can share that with everybody else through our outlet of communication with the women out there.
For sure. And, Dee, do you have anything cool coming up? Are you doing any seminars, or have you been staying busy with your guide service, or what's going on with you besides obviously killing the world as far as trout go?
Oh, right. No, actually, I don't have anything spectacular coming up. Just doing the guide service and trying to keep up on kayak oars whenever I can. Always looking for new places to fish. Like the other day I was telling you, I headed a couple miles more south from the same launch spot and checking things out, and always hoping to be able to share those places with other people. So, or not, for that matter, if you don't like it. Right?
Well, I think, yeah, for sure. I think that maybe one of our next trips or next little adventures, we should try and take these things off the beach down south, if you're interested in that, Dee. I know the Ultimate's not the most ideal kayak for that, but you can use the one that Brittany was in today, or I can get my hands on a different one for you, and we could try to do some of that shallow reef fishing down there around Fort Pierce area. I think that would be a lot of fun. I haven't done that yet down there, so...
Yeah, that would make a really good trip. Yeah.
I know. I've talked to Aaron about it.
He's gone out that way?
No, we've discussed making that trip as well, and we just haven't been able to put anything together.
That would be great.
Yeah, in fact, it was funny because I talked to two of my buddies today when I got off the water, and they were both down in Fort Pierce today, and they said they had top-to-bottom viz in 20 foot of water, and they were down there spearfishing looking for lobsters, and they had huge hog snappers that were all around. They had mangrove snappers all around. There were a few groupers laying around, so there's definitely a lot of fish to be caught, and it's a very short paddle off the beach. I mean, these guys are swimming out to the reef. Off the beach, we'd be paddling out to the reef, so that gives you any idea how close it is.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't make for too hard of a day, for sure. Well, it's I guess I got about 10 minutes left. We need to try and boondoggle. I agree for sure. Actually, you know what, guys? We've talked about doing Sebastian. When was that, Dee, when we talked about that? Wasn't that when they stayed up in Georgia? Up in Jacksonville? Dee?
I don't know.
I think we talked about doing a boondoggle at Sebastian once, didn't we?
Well, yeah, we did. But that I think it ended up turning out being back up to the Mosquito Lagoon again. That was the second one, wasn't it?
Maybe it was. But, I think that would be a cool place to do a boondoggle, actually. It would be down around that way. But probably in the winter when the mosquitoes aren't quite so bad. Because though it's not called Mosquito Lagoon, for whatever reason, it's still pretty bad. And apparently I'm a thief because Brittany let me borrow some bug spray today because I was being attacked. I think I lost about 5 pints of blood, and give her back her bug spray. So, it was definitely needed today. Climbing in mangrove trees aggravates mosquitoes, apparently. So, I think that would be a cool place to do a boondoggle. If not Fort Pierce area, at least at Sebastian, because you're only talking a 30-minute drive south or a 45-minute drive south to Fort Pierce. So, that wouldn't be too bad. You can do a trip right near the inlet one day, and then do a trip where we were at one day, and then do one of those off the beach deals if the weather cooperates.
Right. We'll work on it.
Yeah, I think that'll be cool. We've been talking about trying to put together a boondoggle to go down to the Keys. And for those of you guys who don't know what boondoggle is, and Brittany's probably like, boondoggle. But boondoggles are basically just big get-togethers. You guys who have been to them know that it's basically just a time to get together, kind of meet each other face-to-face, and go out and just have fun and go catch some fish, hopefully. We've done a few here on the Space Coast. Most of them are kind of been to the north of us up in Jacksonville, and there's been – I think they're having one in South Carolina.
You threw me on that one. It was Jacksonville, then Mosquito Lagoon, because I was thinking Daytona for some reason, because that's where Chip had to drive through.
Right.
And they were doing the Daytona 500 that day. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
Right.
So, yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I think everybody had a good time. And, like I say, if we can find a centralized area that's not quite so far away, I know a lot of folks have a hard time making trips down here as it is, because we do have listeners from all up and down the seacoast. So we've got a guy, I think we have somebody in Maine that's a normal listener, but I know we got guys that are up in New York that listen in. And, for those guys to make a trip all the way down here to do a boondoggle, it's kind of asking a lot. And to put it even further south than where me and you are at, Dee, is kind of pushing it a little bit more, I think. But this is definitely something I think that we should do, is try and really work on getting the Sebastian thing going, because it is such a great fishery. In fact, the first phone call I made when I got back in my truck after I said goodbye to you, I called one of my buddies and I said, the heck with the lagoon and the north end of the river. I said, I'm over it. I haven't seen that kind of diversity in fish in a long time up there. And I don't know, you might catch me paddling around your area a little bit more, Dee.
Awesome.
Well, for the ride, I mean, it's really not that bad. I think it took me about an hour and a half from my house here in Titusville to get down there, so it really wasn't that bad. What do you say? I love fishing over there. Yeah, Rob, you would. you should come, man. I'm telling you. I got a couch. I got three of them. You can come crash on the couch. Just don't mind the babies waking you up in the middle of the night. But it was definitely really cool. And Brittany, I can't thank you enough for joining us today and letting me kind of get a little sneak peek into what you got going on for Florida Sportswomen. That was really cool.
Yeah, thanks for having me out, and thank you, Dee, for having me out. Also, I had a really great time, and it was great to meet both of you today.
And please feel free to get a hold of me or Dee, and you know, let's make this kind of a normal activity for you. I want to get you more involved in this kayak thing. I think that there's a lot of, you'd be surprised how many women kayak fish. I know Dee's got a handful of friends that she fishes with. I was telling her about Vicky a little bit today about how she's about as hardcore as you are. And Vicky loves to fish tournaments. She loves to be involved. So there's definitely a lot of them around, and we'll try and get you hooked up with as many of them as we can. Let's just hear in the chat room real quick. It's not that far to drive to your brother's house for fishing either. Yeah, that's my brother. He lives in North Carolina. It's not, Dom, you're right. I need to make a trip up there for sure because, I don't know. Guys, if you get a chance, Google Carolina Beach, the Carolina Beach area, and tell me what you think about that fishery, or at least what it looks like. And you guys know how much I like to catch flounder. And that's like an everyday occurrence for them up there. So, sorry, Nick. It doesn't look like it's going to happen this summer, bud. But, cool. Well, that's just about my hour. Dee, are you going to fish this week? I mean, yeah, during this week at all? Do you have any trips lined up? Or?
No trips. I'm all done. I am going out tomorrow, different spot. And then I have Wednesday off for a meeting. And then probably be back out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know.
And Dee, if people want to get a hold of you to book you for a trip, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, my gosh. You can email me at dee@realkayakfishing.com, or you can go to my website, realkayakfishing.com, and there's a form that you can fill out for booking a trip or asking any kind of questions, or you can call me at 321-394-6874. 321-394-6874.
Very, very good. I hope you guys wrote that down. There, look at my brother. You're all over it, dude. I appreciate it. And Brittany, if people want to get a hold of you again and either donate to the Kids on Fishing or just get involved with Florida Sportswomen, how can I get a hold of you?
Just visit our website. It's www.floridasportswomen.com. And then that will have, it'll share the rest of the avenues of the ways to get a hold of us through phone and email.
Easy enough. Guys, try and get involved. Do whatever you can to help her out. It's definitely something I think that we need to try and focus on. I often wonder to myself why we as anglers don't do more as far as trying to get more people involved in the sport. Not only that, but also charitable events and things like that. We spend more money doing this hobby than any other hobby that's out there. We spend more money than golfers, spend more money than bowlers and whoever else. So, you know, if you can pitch in just a day's worth of your time to help take a kid fishing, or if you can pitch in you know, a couple of old used rods and reels for the same purpose, that's cool. If you can maybe connect a couple of lady anglers with Florida Sportswomen, that's awesome as well. So, Dee and Brittany, I appreciate y'all coming on the show. And don't forget that tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern, we've got Rob Backcast DeVore from Clearwater area. He's got his typical, always dreaded Tuesday night show, where it's just constant ramblings of craziness. And remember that it's a blog. What is it, Rob? It's a blog radio show. So Chip's not responsible for whatever it is that you say. and then at 10 o'clock Eastern, we've got host Isaac the Nothing Miller, who is the West Coast guru. That's what I'm going to call him from now on. He fishes over in Oregon State, I believe. So all things halibut, salmon, sturgeon, ling cod, craziness. That's tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, we have Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, who puts on a great show from up in the Virginia Beach area. That's 8 o'clock Eastern. That will be Wednesday night. Thursday night, we got a lot of shows. Thursday night at 8 p.m. is The Godfather, Chip Gibson. He's the tree hugger. Check out his show. It's The Roundtable. It's a very cool show. Anybody can call in just like any of the rest of our shows. We're really trying to get as many callers, as many active participating members in the chat room as we can, to try and really promote this thing. It's a lot of fun. We have fun doing it, and we appreciate each and every one of you guys tuning in every week. I know it's kind of hard to do Monday night at 8 o'clock, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and then 10 o'clock, and then throughout the rest of the week as well. So, we definitely appreciate you guys. I'm not going to be fishing this week. I have to work. But I'll be thinking about the rest of you guys as you're out there fishing. Make sure that you stay safe. Stay hydrated. It's hot out there. Take a kid fishing. And, if you want to try and get a hold of me for a trip, because I do charters as well, it's chuckskayakadventures.com. You can call me. It's 321-302-6204. And that's about it. So tight lines, everybody. Appreciate the calls. And you guys take it easy. Trey and Logan, good night, buddy. See ya.